You're listening to the Story Selling Podcast, where we help you create better content, double your impact and your revenue through the power of story and sales psychology. Here's your host, digital marketing strategist and founder of the Story Selling Masterclass, 16 Ramos.
Hello, hello. Welcome to another episode of the Story Selling Podcast. On this episode, we're going to talk about the five tweaks you can make to improve your storytelling right away. Over the last 5 to 7 years, I would say, I've taught tens of thousands of business owners how to tell stories about themselves and their brands. And in that time, I've heard many people say that telling your own story isn't as simple or as easy as a lot of content marketing experts make it sound, because there's a method to it. And on this podcast, I teach you how to create better content and tell more engaging stories. And I'm going to dive a little deep into that method as well. You're going to find and discover some structural changes that you can make with your story, because telling your story to a group of friends, for example, is a lot different from telling a story about your product, telling a story about your service, and telling a story about your brand, the message behind your brand. So you're going to be discovering some structural changes and also some very light tweaks that you can actually apply today so that you can improve your storytelling and have better results with the content that you're posting, because you want your content to work harder, right? So with these five tips you can apply today, you're going to see better results, more engagement, and more conversions. So let's dive into tip number one. My first tip is to pack some punch in that intro. This is the very first thing that your audience is going to see, whether it's a written form of content or video. So you know that attention span is very, very short now. You only have a few seconds, 2.3 seconds to be exact, to really capture someone's attention, whether they're reading a headline or watching the first few seconds of your video. So under this item, you want to think about two things: creating an intriguing headline with your copy. So usually when you post a video, for example, you're going to create a title or a headline, or if it's posted anywhere like Facebook or Instagram, you're just going to be creating captions around that video, right? So you want to think about what those first few words are going to say. So your intriguing headline, and then how the intro is like. So in a nutshell, how you should structure your intro. So let's take a look at how you could structure your headlines so that you can pack some punch into it. So depending on what your personality is, you can go about this different ways. So you could go about this on the vulnerable route. So for example, one of the things that I said on one of my videos, or one of my emails actually, is this mistake cost me $1,000. So you could take your own story, like what is one big mistake that you made in your business that cost you a lot of money? You could say something like, this mistake cost me $10,000. And I mean, that's a lot of money. That's quite an expensive mistake. It's very intriguing. I want to learn more because I want to avoid this kind of expense. So if I can avoid an expensive mistake like this, and that'll help me a lot. But at the same time, it's vulnerable. You're not afraid to tell people that this was a mistake that you made and it cost you dearly. So by being intriguing, by creating a lot of curiosity about the content that's to come, you are encouraging or inviting someone to watch more or read more or click on a link. Another way you can go about this is to call out who your audience really is. So an example of this would be to say something like, every content creator should know this hack. So I called out the exact audience, the specific audience that should watch this video, that should read this content, which is content creators. So you could say something depending on who your niche is. You could say something like, every stay-at-home mom needs to know this trick, or every web developer needs to know this list. So call out who the audience is supposed to be, so that when that particular audience sees that content, they immediately know that this content is for them. It's specialized for them. You can also go about this in the authoritative. You could go the authoritative route by saying something like, the three effective tips to help you get better sleep. So tips, steps, ways. My pro tip for this one is to use a number. So you notice that I said three effective tips. Usually numbers work very well because of the way our brain works. So our brain treats numbers like brain candy, like candy. So it's in the way that we organize information and data. It's much easier when you see a number because in a sense, your brain is itemizing the information that it's about to receive. Also, it gives your audience a sense of this is not just going to be a rambling list of things or rambling list of information. There's actually an end to this. So very, very quickly, I'm going to give you the five things you need to know or three steps you need to know. So if you can, when applicable, apply some numbers, put some numbers on those headlines. It doesn't always need to be like that. You can also say something like how to achieve blank, how to achieve a certain result. So in general, when creating intriguing headlines, I would suggest that you know who your exact niche is. It's better to really target your message to a specific group of people rather than watering it down and making it a general for all or for everyone kind of message. You still can be evergreen. Your topic can still be addressed to a wide group of audience, even though it's niched down. That's one misconception that people think about when you're niching down is because I'm targeting a group of people, a lot of people are not going to relate to this anymore. Well, while that's true, you are going to be creating a message that's packaged specifically for a group of people, but then that will be your tribe. That will be people who are engaged in that subject matter. So that in the end is good for you. So we're still under tip number one, which is packing some punch in that intro. And I mentioned how your intro is supposed to be. We only were talking about headlines. So add some personality into that headline. But after that, tell people exactly what they're going to be receiving, what content is up. So in a nutshell, show people how it ends or show what the content is supposed to be about. So one great example is if you're creating a short video on your intro, you can say something like, on this video, I'll show you how I turned one blog post into 50 pieces of content within 1 hour. Or if it's a tutorial video, you can say something like, on this video, I'll show you how I created this look in 5 minutes. So obviously that video is going to show the end result right away so that people can already see the destination. You've already painted the destination. So also they can decide whether or not it's something that they're going to be interested in. And, you know, if the perfect person happens to see this video, that they happen to be looking for hairstyles that look exactly like that, then perfect. That's it. They've landed on the most perfect video and they're going to watch all the way through. So in a nutshell, explain to people what's about to come. So that's tip number one, pack some punch in that intro because you only have a few seconds to make an impact. Tip number two is to take a conversational tone. And you want to take the example of this podcast, for example. I'm talking to you, but in my head, I know for a fact that this podcast gets thousands of downloads every week. So I know that there's more than one person listening to me. But when I speak onto the microphone, I imagine just one person listening to me. That way, I calm my nerves a little bit. This works, especially if you're an introvert and the thought of a massive group of people watching you or listening to you really gets you nervous, then this trick really will help you calm down a bit. So taking a conversational tone takes the pressure off in many, many ways. First of all, it takes the pressure off of you needing to sound professional because in the end, your customers are human beings. They're very emotional human beings. They make decisions based on emotions. Sometimes, you know, there are decisions to be made that require the logical side of your brain. But for the most part, customers are very emotional human beings and they do make that decision to purchase or to sign up, etc., through their emotions or by their emotions. So when you're talking to someone, talk to them like you're talking to a friend. Take that conversational tone and really try to be yourself about it. I know that's, you know, I almost don't like that statement, but maybe I'll take the more practical route here. Imagine someone that you trust, someone that you can just tell all of your stories to. In my case, that's my little sister. I can tell her everything and anything. I imagine her listening to me whenever I say, or whenever I record these podcasts, or whenever I record any videos. So for you, imagine who that person is. Might be your best friend, might be family, whoever that you trust listening to you at the other side of the camera, or you know, other side of the microphone or the speaker. So that it takes the pressure off of you needing to sound perfect. You can also be real by taking the conversational tone, because when you're in a conversation with a dear friend, you really wouldn't talk like, you know, we help our clients achieve double revenues through our web service. You really don't talk like that, do you? So you're going to be a little bit more casual, a little bit more informal, and you're going to say, you know, we help web developers make their jobs easier. That's a more real tone, a conversational, you know, little vague, but you can explain it later. But you immediately sound a lot more relaxed and a lot more understanding when you take a conversational tone. My pro tip for this is to use the word you a lot, as in Y-O-U, so that your audience feels involved. And by the way, when you take the conversational tone, it almost immediately makes your audience feel involved anyway, because you're going to be using the word you all the time, like I am on this podcast episode and all the rest of my podcast episodes, because I've taken this step, or I've started to implement this go-to hack for myself a long time ago, just because of me being an introvert. I needed kind of a coping mechanism. It started out that way as a coping mechanism so that I could stop feeling nervous. So try that. If content creation really puts a lot of pressure on you to be perfect, think of a good friend, think of family, someone that you trust, listening to you behind the other side, and take that conversational tone. Tip number three. You want to paint a clear picture of the problem. This is especially useful when you're educating someone, or when you're creating edutainment or infotainment kind of content. So I've taught a lot of people how to tell a story about their brand. And one of the earliest exercises that I have them do is just to tell a story about themselves, about their transformational process, because everyone has a story, especially business owners who I cater to. So before becoming a business owner, there were obviously challenges. You didn't like where you were. And then there was a turning point, and then there was a transformation. So explain that. Tell me your story. That's usually my early exercise, or one of the early exercises I have them do. So they go about this whole process of telling their stories, and in some form or another, I see it go like this. So I didn't like where I was. I didn't like my job. I was frustrated and broke. So I made a change. One day I decided to work for myself, and I did it. So very inspiring turn of events, very encouraging story. But one thing that you will notice with a story like that is that it's very vague, especially the part where someone describes their problems or the challenges, or even the results that they obtained. So instead of saying it, describe it. That's the key here. So one example I'm going to take from that story, I mentioned broke and frustrated, right? So I was broke and frustrated. What does that look like? So you can go ahead and tell people what the emotion was like, or you can describe it. I'm going to say you can do both. I was broke and frustrated, and then explain to them how that manifests. What was the specific scenario involved in that? So you could describe broke like this. There were weeks when my bank account reflected zero and I had to eat cup noodles for 5 days straight until something came through. That's an exact specific scenario of what broke really looks like. I'm not saying that that's my actual story or that was anyone's story, but that's really what broke looks like. So another emotion that I mentioned was frustrated, right? Broke and frustrated. How do you describe frustrated? What does that really look like? You could say something like, I was tired of scrolling through my social media, seeing my friends take holiday vacations that I couldn't afford, and I was done. I was over it, and I realized it was time for me to make a change. So you really described, by saying something like that, you described what that scenario looked like, and that might actually be accurate for a lot of people who are listening. I mean, who isn't at one point or another scrolling through their feed and secretly kind of hating their current situation? I was seriously in that position for years, where I was seeing people who I thought at the time were a little less talented than I was. I'm just going to say it. Okay, we're best friends. Anyway, and I knew that I had a lot to offer, but heck, why am I not making as much? Or why am I not in these 5-star vacations? Why am I not on these fabulous trips? And why am I not in the position of being able to treat my family to a nice Christmas? Why am I not there? So I know how that feels like. And so whenever you're describing any kind of problem, whether that's you want to tell people an inspiring story about your personal life, your own transformation, really describe the scenarios involved in telling people about your problems, the challenges. And this goes the same for your business. So if you're describing someone's problem, like are you frustrated about seeing your website? So what does frustration look like in that scenario? Or are you tired of seeing no results with your ads? So what does that look like really? So paint a clear picture of the problem, but also of the destination. I'm going to say that kind of as a side tip here. People really want to see what the end goal looks like as well. So just the same concept for really describing an exact scenario for the problem, create an exact scenario for the destination as well. So what is the opposite of broke? It's wealthy, right? What does that look like? Wealthy means you have a lot of time. You enjoy your time with family or with your hobbies. You have a lot more time to do the things that you really want to do. You don't have to wake up to an alarm clock anymore. You can choose the people that you work with. So these are very specific things, tangible things that people can imagine when you mention the word wealthy. So don't just say it, describe it. Tip number 4 is, actually, let me backtrack a little bit before I proceed to tip number 4, because I do have a pro tip before I forget. In painting a clear picture of the problem and of the destination, write this down when you can, because when you talk to people or when you reflect on your own experiences, write them down in a journal, online, wherever you want, wherever is more effective for you, so that you can use this for content, or you can even use this for copy. Believe it or not, a lot of the copy that I use for my landing pages or my emails, for example, are real life scenarios that my students tell me from inside the Story Selling Masterclass. These words didn't come from me, it came from them. So these are exact situations, exact results, and exact emotions that they tell me over our calls. So write these things down. If you haven't really had that much experience talking to people yet, then write down your own reflections or do your research. After knowing who your niche is, then write down the top 5 problems that people have in that niche. So when you write down those problems, be as detailed as possible. On the opposite side, let's just say you're writing this on a piece of paper, write down the top 5 things that they really, really want to achieve in that niche, and then describe what that looks like. Okay, so tip number 4, here we go. Use power words, especially when describing or pulling attention to your call to action. So know the emotions you're appealing to. Like I mentioned, people are very emotional human beings, and a lot of our decisions are driven by emotions. So depending on the story, you might want to address different kinds of emotions, like addressing the need for urgency or exclusivity or laziness, addressing laziness, or the need for security, or appealing to fear. There are many, many other emotional power words that you can use to get people to take the action that you want them to take. A lot of people think that this is manipulative, and you can say that, but I like to think of this as encouraging, you know, you're invalidating, because people already feel what they feel before they look at your landing page. They already feel what they feel. They already know what they want, more or less. There might be a small portion of your audience that really don't know that there's a problem. But for the most part, when people do their research, when people do comparison, they already have an idea of what they feel. So you're just there to really validate that with the right kind of words so that you can guide them in making in making the next steps and taking the next step. So know your power words. If you want a cheat sheet on this, I actually have this posted on my free group on Facebook. So if you want to join that free group on Facebook, just go on facebook.com/groups/thestoryselling society. So the Story Selling Society. Or just find me on social media at 16 Ramos. I'm at 16 Ramos everywhere. SixtenRamos. Find me on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, etc. And just tell me I want to join your Facebook group. And I'll put you in. Okay, so use your power words. This also makes you sound like you have a very wide vocabulary when you expand your word bank of power words. Makes your story a lot more effective. Okay, last tip, last but not the least, is have a point. Have a point. If you can imagine a story or a movie that ends in the middle of the story, or the ending is sucky. That's just horrible, isn't it? It's like, what? Where's the rest? Where's the rest of the story? I don't understand. So I really don't like it. I have a lot of movies that I've watched that ended really abruptly. And I'm so disappointed in the end that I wasted an hour, 2 hours of my time for an ending like that, where the movie just went on and on and on and on, and then that's it. It was the end of the movie. So have a point, especially if you're telling your personal story, because personal stories are, based on my observations, where people really ramble a lot because it's their own story. It's very interesting to them. And once they get going, it just goes on and on. So one thing that you want to understand about telling any kind of story is that not all parts of it will be relevant to the person who's listening. So choose parts of your story that's relevant and will move the entire narrative along, especially because attention span is short and short form video is all the rage with the rise of TikTok and Reels. You want to stick to your point. So practice this, practice your pace, and work with talking points, whether it's written or video. So my pro tip for this is to work with a coach or to tell your story to someone and get their feedback and then practice it until it sounds right for you. Notice that I didn't say until it sounds perfect, because we're not aiming for perfection here. We're just aiming for results. We're just aiming for it to be effective. So until it sounds right for you, practice it. So I've taught over 100 plus business owners how to tell better stories to sell their products and services through my story selling framework. They've doubled their revenues, clarified their niche, and they have been attracting their ideal clients with every single post through the power of storytelling and sales psychology. So like I said, one of the pro tips that I have for this is to work with someone, work with a coach until you get to a point where you're happy with your story. One valuable thing with working with a coach is that you get expert feedback. So if you want to see how this framework works for your business, what you want to do is apply for the Story Selling Masterclass. Go to thestoryselling.com. And once you're approved, you'll get on a 45-minute call with me where we do a health check on your storytelling, on your marketing and content strategy, and we'll map out the math for your six-figure year. So go ahead, check out thestoryselling.com, apply for it, and I'll see you there. So that's it. The 5 tweaks you can make to improve your storytelling right away. Which one of these will you implement today? let me know. I so enjoyed today's episode. I hope to see you on the next one. Bye.
You've been listening to the Story Selling Podcast. Catch you again next time for a brand new episode. If you like this topic or have a story you'd like to share, reach out and visit 16ramos.com.